Friends, we are beginning the chapter 3, which is on Deen Dayal Antyodaya Yojana, National Rural Livelihood Mission, or in short, DRLM. The first chapter was on financial inclusion, second chapter was on SHGs. The second chapter, I made a statement that about 60% or about 2/3 of the SHGs are covered under the National Rural Livelihood Mission. Now, since 65% SHGs are covered under this program, it is important for us to understand the kind of more about this program so that we get into the some of the basics of the SHGs which we started and how those things are moving in this program. The entire program is looking to building the new institutions. Institutions in the sense the SHGs are being treated as a new institutions. The SHG federations are being treated as new institutions to come up. That is what is happening. This program is by Government of India, where it is a central and state both joined for the funding support. The program is being grounded. Ultimate aim is a poverty reduction. This is how the program is getting. We shall look into the various aspects of this program, how it works, how that basic SHG tenets or what basic philosophy is being carried forward in this program, that we shall be able to deal. Let us look to what is going to be covered. You know, as far as this chapter is concerned, we are going to see a large number of things. What is the concept of the NRLM? Deen Dayal Antyodaya Yojana, this is a prefix actually. It is added since 2015, this prefix was added to the National Rural Livelihood Mission. This program is also a kind of, you know, it was a kind of earlier program of the government. We started with the IRDP, Intensive Rural Development Program, Integrated Rural Development Program. Then we went into SGSY, Suvarna Jayanti Gram Swarozgar Yojana. Then we have a NRLM. This is a kind of evolution which has happened. Then we shall look into kind of, you know, what are the milestones for this program? What are the components of these programs? What are the differences between the NRLM and SGSY? That is Swarna Jayanti Swarozgar Yojana. This program is basically a conversion of the SGSY. How that happened? What is the difference? That's all these few things we shall see. Basically, we shall also go into the implementation of NRLM, how the program is being grounded at the ground level. We shall see the progress, temporal progress of this program. What is the impact of this program? What are the challenges for this? There is another parallel program is there, which is a National Urban Livelihood Mission. This is for urban areas, whereas NRLM is for rural areas. How these two programs are there, maybe some idea about that urban program also we shall have it. Then we shall look to what is the way forward. What is the summary for the whole program? That's how something we are going to see. As usual, we shall quote the references which we have used it for building this particular chapter now. Let us begin it now. National Rural Livelihood Mission is basically, as I said, it's a poverty alleviation program which was launched by the Ministry of Rural Development, Government of India in June 2011. What does program does? It focuses on the basically self-employment. It focuses on organization of the poor into the SHGs. And then SHG federations also, it talks about it. Conceptually, it aims at organizing the poor into SHGs, making them capable of self-employment. Basically, the whole program, if you look to it, it looks to self-employment. Of course, wage employment is also envisaged, but focus is on self-employment through building up the SHGs, building up the federations. This is how the program is moving. Since 2011, this is being grounded. Let us see how it goes on. In 1999, Integrated Rural Development Program was restructured. In 1975, we started IRDP or Integrated Rural Development Program. In 1999, we made the SGSY, Swarna Jayanti Gramin Swarozgar Yojana. This was again, as I said, it was aimed at self-employment. SGSY was remodeled into NRLM. It was remodeled in the sense some of the loopholes of the or some of the weaknesses of the SGSY were breached into the SGSY, and SGSY was remodeled into NRLM. This is how the things were going on over a period of time. Basically, the NRLM and SGSY, Suvarna Jayanti, Gramin Swarozgar Yojana, what is the difference is, the basic difference is under SGSY, there was a capital subsidy. Please remember, there was a capital subsidy under the SGSY, whereas under NRLM, we have an interest subvention. So, interest subvention has replaced capital subsidy in NRLM. That's the first difference we must get by this time. There is a hint that it comes from a capital subsidy to interest subvention. This is the first difference we must notice. This program is focusing on women, you know, because this pillar is the SHGs actually. And as we have seen, 85% women groups are there. So this program logically focuses on the women. Idea is to cover as many households as possible. We shall see next slide how many crore families are going to be covered under this program. The program is, you know, as I said, that prefix was added. Deen Dayal Antyodaya Yojana was added in 25th September 2015. This prefix was added to this program, you know, by the government. Look to this coverage, you know. About 7 crore families are going to be covered under this program, you know. If you look to the very first row, the coverage of the rural households, about 7 crores. We are expecting the program to be grounded in 675 districts. Something is going on. This is what is going to happen. The program, please remember, is for about 10 years. 10 years is because the community requires a kind of handholding. The groups require a handholding. They require an escort. This is going to happen. The federations are going to come up. This is going to take a long time. This is not that 1 year we'll complete the entire thing. It's about a decade, about 8 to 10 years the program is going to take. And we are going to form the SHGs. We are going to form the federations. We are going to give them the skills. There is a escort, or we call it a handholding. We did all these facets. The program is being grounded for about 10 years. The program will go on. What are the components? Because the NRLM, as I said, was, you know, 2011 we came. Prefix is added in 2015. Basically, it's a remodeling of the SGSY. SGSY, we have a capital subsidy, whereas in NRLM, we have interest subvention. Things are going on. Now, this program has basically 4 components, you know. 4 major components are in this program. First component, the poor households are functionally, they are made into effective SHGs. And their federations. So SHG is first component. We provide them the credit, you know. We provide them the credit, we provide the technical advice, market services are provided, you know. This is what the program envisages. Not only credit, but also credit plus financial services, technical support, market linkages. What happens then? This basically ensures that they get access at affordable cost. That first part of our presentation, in the first chapter, affordable cost becomes very important. Therefore, the interest subvention has been brought into picture so that these people get the loans from the banking system at 7% rate of interest, you know. Each SHG is linked with the banks that enable them to get the financial services. This also includes that part of interest subvention, which I said. And SHGs can also become the business correspondents. That's a very important thing you must remember. Then they will have a financial literacy. They will have insurance and pension benefits also will be covered for these people, you know. So these are the, when I said the components of NRLM, not only credit, but financial literacy, insurance, pension. These are all the things which are coming up, you know. Of course, savings are also there that we cannot forget, because that's a prefix, that's a pillar on which we started this whole movement, you know. The third pillar or the third component is the capacity building. As I said, you know, I repeat that statement. Credit is a necessity, but not a sufficient condition. Credit enables me to move forward, but I require skills. I require linkages, I require some kind of financial literacy, I require the supportive services too. Maybe as I said, I require insurance to meet my mitigation, my risk actually. Maybe life insurance, maybe health insurance, maybe something like my asset insurance I have to insure. So all the dimensions are being brought into this program, you know. The fourth important dimension that is very important for me, which I have dealt earlier also, but it's a repetition. For effective delivery, we are envisaging a converging of various schemes of the government. We envisage a convergence of various government programs. And what are those? Those programs are maybe which are meant for social inclusion and social development, food, nutrition, health, wash, and gender interventions. All these programs of the government are converged with this program. So four components we should remember. First was something like we went for SAGs, we went for federations of the SAGs, we go for this capital, intra-subvention rather than the capital subsidy. We also go for the skill building. We also go for convergence of various components of the programs and the government programs which are going on. We want to converge them. That's very important to ensure the convergence of the various schemes, you know, for effective delivery of our all services we want to provide to the poor households. In all districts, earlier there was a distinction. In the book, if you are reading, there is a distinction between the 250 districts and the second category was beyond those 250 districts. Now that distinction is eliminated by the government. And since 2022-23, all the districts, they have the interest subvention at a rate of 7%. These SAGs, they get the loan from the banking system at 7%. In case the banks are given interest subvention, that's a small part which I've added there, because the banks, they were saying they are unable to provide the loans at 7%. So the government comes to the rescue and says, okay, we will compensate you for your loss if you are losing by giving the loans at cheaper rate. So the government does support the banks by giving interest subvention. If the groups, they repay the loans in time, they are given an additional interest subvention, which is the subvention is about 3%, you know. So the ultimately the groups get the loans at 4%. That's something very interesting. Initial loans are at 7%. If the group repays the loan promptly, they get the loans at 4%, because 3% subvention is available in case of prompt repayment. Please remember, this component comes only if the loans are repaid in time. That's all what happens, you know. This is something, you know, I've made a comparison between the SGSY and the NRLM, you know. SGSY, we had a limited autonomy, you know, whereas NRLM, I get a fairly good autonomy, you know. Then this is something, you know, these distinctions I've made it. There is a strategy which is more of a demand-driven in case of NRLM. My strategies are more demand-driven, you know. I go for based on the demand of the members, based on their needs. The program has a flexibility also. It has a lot of autonomy, actually. This is something the groups are based on the some kind of, you know, the affinity. The groups in NRLM are based on the affinity and not on the basis of activity. Please remember these differences, you know. ESGSY, I had a activity-based groups. I had a lesser autonomy. I had a problem of strategy because it was more allocation-driven. Based on the allocation by the government, the program used to work. Here, it is more of a demand-based strategy, you know. Here, I have interest subvention. Here, the community participation is more in case of NRLM, because the identification of the poor is done through a participatory process. So, a lot of people or a lot of community involvement is there in NRLM. So, the loopholes which were there in SGSY, they have been eliminated. And NRLM is taking care of those kind of deficiencies which we observed in SGSY. That's basically the slide which is giving you the picture, actually. More demand-driven, more autonomy to the state governments, because governments wanted some autonomy, so okay, that's what is provided. These are basically the community's involvement is there in participation, in the identification of the poor. All these things are happening which are positives for the program implementation. That is what is going on. What is the focus, you know? Because always we look to different program has come. So what is that, you know? Basically, you know, promoting SAGs, one, federating them, that's perfectly okay. The support is through specialized vehicle. In each state, there is a livelihood mission, actually. Like Maharashtra, we have a state livelihood mission. In Bihar, we have a Bihar state livelihood mission is there, which takes care of that. They have an autonomy. Please remember that one thing. They have autonomy, they can, but overall guidelines are there. But within that, they can play their role. they can go for some kind of refinements within limits, of course. That is what I am saying. Basically, you know, they provide these facilities, provide the insurance, they provide the pension to the SAGs. And what it helps them to mitigate the risk, actually, which emanate from the unforeseen circumstances, whatever the risk emanate, they are taken care of through the insurance products, you know. These are the kind of, you know, something like some benefits or relaxation are given for persons with disabilities, persons with elderly age people. They are given some kind of advantage. And where? What advantage? There, I can promote a group of men as well as women. Earlier, I said the women are exclusively, women groups are formed. Here, the provision is available only for the vulnerable persons where there are disabilities of the people are there or elderly people are there. Then the men and women are allowed to be merged, mixed groups can be there. That's what the last line means, you know. What it naturally says is you have some kind of flexibility, you have some kind of autonomy, because these are the compelling circumstances where you want to form a group of men as well as women, you can pull them and form the group. That's what it says. Otherwise, exclusively these are the women groups. You know. These are the very interesting dimensions which are going on. I'm giving you some figures, because unless the figures are there, we don't get convinced. 19,000 and odd women SAG members are working as business correspondents, you know. What these business correspondents do, in fact? They provide financial services. Where? In the remote areas, where people do not have access to the banking services. If you go to the remote areas, there is a problem of access to the banking services. Now, that problem is addressed by making SAG members as business correspondents. Basically, the NRLM, they train the financial master literacy masters are trained. They provide the financial literacy, because I said to you earlier, financial literacy is one of the important parameters, and this is importing. They are importing the financial literacy training in the villages itself, you know, so that the training is provided at the doorsteps or at the local place of the poor. As I said earlier, you know, the insurance is there. What I am saying, Prime Minister Jeevan Jyoti Yojana or Prime Minister Suraksha Bima Yojana. For example, this Suraksha Bima Yojana, hardly one contributes 20 rupees a year, but you are insured for 2 lakhs of rupees loan for the personal insurance, or it is called as accidental insurance cover is there. So such insurance covers are created and are given benefit to the poor through these programs, you know. Basically, Atal Pension Yojana is there, which gives takes care of your pension also. Basically, the insurance product, as I said earlier also, they help me to mitigate my risk, which is emanating from unforeseen incidents. That is not in my hands. So nobody can control that, but my insurance product helps me to come over those kind of problems. States. Various, as I said, the state has the autonomy. They have the kind of, you know, freedom with them. They took their own advantage, you know. For example, a couple of incidences I'm quoting. For example, the microcredit plan is prepared for each member of the household, actually. They call it MCP, microcredit plan. It's prepared for each member. Then it is aggregated. And then the loan is sanctioned for a group as a whole, you know. Individual plan, then aggregation, then group plan, then the loan is sanctioned, you know. In Andhra and Telangana, the third Wednesday of every month is observed to be a community-based recovery mechanism by all banks. Something, the banks are interested in loaning as well as recovering the loans. So the third Wednesday of every month is being used for recovery of these loans, you know. In SAG, they have been provided some apps, you know, through which, as I said, the manual bookkeeping is one area, which was the area of concern. We have tried to replace that with a small app so that it gets digitalized. Please remember, the advantage I get through this mechanism is we get digitalized, means it brings more transparency. More transparency means better governance. Better governance means more chances of success of the group. This is how I am building a link. Once I replace the manual bookkeeping with a kind of app, I get digitalized, I get more transparent, I get better governance, and I get success of the group. You know, this is what happens. You know. All these things are taken care of by the state. Some states have taken the initiatives because the autonomy is available. Bihar, for example, they have taken fairly good initiatives. You know, Andhra and Telangana, they took this initiative of third Wednesday for ensuring recovery. Because the bank support will come only if the recovery is good. And to ensure that, this is the mechanism. Every third Wednesday is used for recovery. Asset verification is very important. This is carried out by the field staff. The photographs of asset creation is there. It is uploaded on the portal. Please remember, why we do all the things? This brings more transparency. And as I said, transparency means better governance. Governance means better chances of success for the program. So all these things are happening on this program, you know. Various initiatives are taken. What for? Either credit deepening. Credit deepening means, as I explained in the first chapter, means my average loan per borrower goes up. My reduction of NPAs. Increased use of funds for income generating activities. I told you, my about income generating activities were there. About one third of the members undertook income generating activities. But Andhra, I got a figure of about two thirds of the people undertook the income generating activities. So now we have to learn these lessons. And the mechanism followed is this. Go for asset verification, put them with the photograph of that asset so that the asset created and the beneficiary are visible. It is uploaded on the portal. This reduces the leakages actually. That's very important to know. Bihar, I told you, they have gone for a cashless transactions actually. Through how? Through mechanism of the business correspondence. You know. Very important to know. They have gone for the mobile banking. They have gone for use of BCs. Now, these are the initiatives which the states have taken. So I thought I must share with you so that you can understand few of these. You can try with the refinements in your area of operations also. How the defaulters, because the normal problem is what to do with the defaulters. You know? Now, these are the few guidelines which I'm sharing with you. The willful defaulters are not allowed to be financed under NRLM. First thing, very clear. No defaulter will get a support under NRLM through the bank credit. That's first thing. They can get the benefit if the group thinks that the fellow is something they want to support him. They can support through savings of the group, but not through credit. Please remember, the group can take a decision to support a defaulter through their savings, but not with the credit support from bank under NRLM. Willful defaulter should not have access to the benefit of assistance at the stage of economic activities unless outstanding is repaid. If he repays the loan, fine, no problem. But if it doesn't repay, he will not get a credit support for income generating activities also. They will be, group will be financed excluding that willful defaulter. He will be taken out of the total of the microcredit plans, and others can be financed. You know. One view has been given. Non-willful defaulter should not be debarred from receiving the loan. Just because one fellow is a defaulter, the other 18, 19 people should not suffer. That's the meaning of that sentence. You know. So willful you can penalize, but non-willful should get credit support under NRLM. That is what is expected. You know. Suppose there is a genuine defaulter. If somebody argues he is a genuine defaulter, he has valid reasons for it, then you can work out a revised repayment schedule for that fellow. That fellow in the sense, the defaulter. The defaulter can have a revised repayment schedule, but he has to repay the loan and then get the credit support from the banking system. This is how it goes on. There are two components of this fund. One is revolving fund is there, and one is the community support fund. You know, there are two funds which are specifically earmarked for the under NRLM. Revolving fund assistance is provided to the SHGs to inculcate the habit of thrift. Please remember, this program was not only on credit. This was promoting the thrift, promoting the savings in the community. So the RFA, the revolving fund assistance, is provided to encourage the habits of saving and meeting immediate consumption needs. For these two purposes, the RFA is provided. These two things we must get into very clearly. Purpose of RFA is to enable them to have kind of, you know, accumulate their funds and get a kind of, you know, credit support from the banks and promote savings. Community Development Fund, basically, this is used for meeting the members' credit needs directly and as a catalytic capital for leveraging the repeated loans. What does it mean? It helps me to have a higher loan from the banking system. CIF enables me because my corpus goes up. The moment my corpus goes up, I'm eligible for getting a larger amount from the banking system. So CIF is basically routed through the SAG federations actually. Federation is only a route to channelize this community investment support fund so that the groups get larger credit support. The last sentence is very important. The key for the whole program is to have the repeat loans, at reasonable rate of interest till the group accumulate their own funds in large measure. You know, in the sense, I need not only one dose of credit, I need a repeat dose of doses of credit at reasonable interval, at reasonable rate of interest. That's what we should get it, you know. So this program, as I said, is for about 10 years. So you get a credit support at various intervals, you know, provided you repay the earlier loans, provided you undertake the income generating activities, provided you have prospered, you have got the incremental income, which enabled you to repay the earlier loans. Ultimately, you come out of the poverty cycle. That is what is expected. And therefore, you get a larger time frame for about 10 years. This whole program is moving on two aspects. It's a demand and supply interventions. This word you will hear throughout this course, whole program is based on two fundamental economic principles, demand and supply side interventions. Now, demand side interventions are what? One, financial literacy and capital support. That RFA, which I said, RFA is a kind of support to the SAGs so that they mobilize the savings, they mobilize larger loans, and also inculcate the habit of savings. That's what we thought at RFA. So these financial literacy, capital support to SAG is one part through which I create a demand actually. Supply side interventions are basically use of technology, which enables me to reduce my cost of operations actually. I can use the BCs and the BFs for promoting the groups actually. Also, maybe insurance cover is also provided to the poor so that they meet the unforeseen circumstances. And as I said earlier, this program is basically funding sources two ways. One, it is the central government and the state. The ratio is little different. It is 75-25. In the sense, 75% of the support comes from the central government, 25% support comes from the state government. In Northeast, the ratio is more for the center actually. In Northeast, I get 90-10. In the sense, 90% of their share comes from the central government. The state respective governments contribute just 10%. This is the relaxation for the northeastern states as far as the funding is concerned under NRLM. This is one more important intervention which has happened in NRLM. Demand, supply. Demand, I told you, you give the financial literacy. Supply, I told you go for technology, reduce the cost of operations. Automatically, this word. And third part, which I said was insurance, you know, is okay. This is the important part. The demand and supply interventions. The credit guarantee fund is created for micro units to guarantee the payment against the default. Banks are worried. They don't want to finance because they are scared my loans may not come back. So the government came to the rescue and they said that if your loans are between 10 and 20 lakhs, we will guarantee you for the repayment of those loans which are given to the micro and small units actually. But this default is available only if they default actually. Between 10 and 20 lakhs, if the loans are there and they are defaulting, the credit guarantee funding is available to the bank. This is again, please remember, this is an intervention which prompts the bank to lend the money to the groups actually, or to the individual units, like in this case, it's a micro unit. But provided they have taken a loan of 10 to 20 lakhs, you know. This is in operation since 2020-21. This is being there. This, as I said, you know, this is the progress under NRLM. And look to the second row actually. Of course, first row is caption, but second row is something related to savings linked SAG under NRLM. Saving linked SAG under NRLM or SGSY, This is this percentage of total groups. There are 100 groups total, out of which about 60.4% groups are under NRLM. This is a very important figure. About 60% of the saving linked groups are under NRLM. Look at a similar figure like loan disbursed to SHGs, share of NRLM. 63% groups are under NRLM. The credit linked SHGs, whatever the number is there, out of that 63% are under NRLM. So what the slide is giving you a hint is, maybe about 2/3 of the groups, that total groups are about 119 lakhs. That's what I told you. SHGs are 119 lakhs. Of which about 60% are under NRLM. If we talk about saving linked SHGs, but if you talk about the credit linked SHGs, then 63% are under NRLM. So here the point which is coming is, a large chunk of SHGs which are formed in this country are now covered under NRLM. That's what the idea is coming to you.